The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to Tuesday's Racing Podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio alongside William Hill Radio's Mick Norton to take a look at Tuesday's action with meetings from Chepstow, Fontwell and Southwell on Tuesday afternoon. And Gareth Topham, John Budden and Richie McGrath will be in to cover all the action on Tuesday. But first, let me welcome Mick Norton onto the programme. Mick, good morning.
Yes, good morning, David.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, good, thank you.
As we always do on Tuesday's Racing Podcast, we sort of pinch the question. Well, we don't even sort of. We pinch the questions from the Monday Jury in the Racing Post because they come up with some questions that reflect on the weekend and look ahead to the future, and we'll spin through these questions now before we move on to Tuesday's racing. The first question, Mick, is which Winter Derby Day runners will you be following on the turf? And this is always an interesting question because a lot of people don't. Well, they think that the all weather form doesn't necessarily transfer to the turf, and I suppose you can see where they're coming from.
Yes, but some of them will definitely be able to hold their own. I mean, I did like the performance of Stepper Point. I mean, it's not Willie Muir's modus operandi to have one tuned up first time after Lombroke, although he can do it. But this Stepper Point took his form to a different level, and he looks a real prospect now. It was his first run since being gelded, and I think that Willie will place him to good effect in pattern races in the coming weeks and months. Very good performance from himself. I did like the maiden winner, Shafra, who won it despite knowing what he was doing. And although it probably didn't beat a lot, you could tell that he was still babies. Even when he was pulling up, he was giving Paul Hannigan a hard time. So I think there's plenty more to come from him. They'd be the two to take out of it. Forget Grandeur's run. He was never going to win from parked out there. And just put that firmly behind him and move on from there. But it was a good day's racing on Winter Derby Day. I enjoyed it.
And which horses are you looking forward to most this flat season, Mick? I know there's been a lot of talk about Australia. Now, I'm a crazily short price for the 2,000 guineas.
Yeah.
And it's the almost the madness of anti-post betting that this horse had a gallop on ground that he's never going to race on again,
yeah,
and was cut for the guineas subsequently.
On the back of a gallop, yeah, amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it'd be great if the Ouija board could throw up a champ in her, you know, so early in her breeding career, wouldn't it? But these hypers, they empty pockets faster than anything, don't they? So I think I'll just sit on the fence for a little bit and see what happens in the trials, etc. I certainly wouldn't be piling into him at the sort of prices on offer at the moment. I love arc-winning fillies, so Treve's got to be on the radar, whatever wherever she goes, whatever she does, and of course she'll have Frankie on board this season, so that'll be exciting. And I don't even know the names of most of the horses I'm looking forward to, because there are so many exciting first season sires of 2-year-olds that we're going to see in the next weeks and months, David. It's going to be fascinating to see where the pecking order lands with all these good horses that have gone to stud, and they're going to have their first runners this year. So plenty to look forward to, indeed, over the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, it's 9-4, by the way, if you fancy Australia for the 2,000 guineas. A lot of the horses further down the list have shown much superior form so far in their burgeoning careers. Kingman is the 4-1 second favourite for the 2,000 guineas. Next question, do you see anyone stopping another Hughes Hannon title double this season?
Oh, it just depends who's got the best horses, David, isn't it? Because the title, trainer's title, is won by prize money.
Yep.
So it's going to be who has the best horses, really, isn't it? And the Hannon team will have plenty of winners, as ever. Just depends, again, how good Gosden's are, how good Aidan O'Brien's are that he's going to send over. Sir Michael Stout. He's had a couple of quiet seasons by his standard. He's due to bounce back with a, you know, with a good classic performer or two. So I think that's the trainer's title. I think is too difficult to call. If it was based on winners, you'd have to say Hannon and Mark Johnson, wouldn't you? But I think Hughesy will be hard to stop if he stays right, especially with Ryan unlikely to chase it. Frankie certainly won't chase it. It'll be like the youngsters maybe give it a go, but Hughesy's going to ride so many winners, he's going to be hard to beat.
The jockey title, Mick, definitely looks more straightforward because Richard Hannon not only has a quality of horse, he's just got quantity, hasn't he? So you're going to, Richard Hughes is going to get such an abundance of rides.
Every day
the
Richard goes racing, David, he's going to be on three or four live ones, if not more. And every day he goes racing.
Turning to next weekend, this is the most difficult question in the list. Who's going to win the Lincoln? So much depends on ground and draw, Mick.
Yeah.
And we don't know either of those yet.
Well, I'm staying at the top end of the handicap where the quality animals are. And the two that stand out for me are Tullius, who we've just said that Oisin Murphy's going to ride, and his claim is an absolute penalty kick gift at the moment.
14-1, he's going to ride some winners this forthcoming season.
He certainly is. He's certainly to be champion apprentice in my book.
Yeah.
He won first time up in 2012, so he can come to hand fresh. And he's made a phenomenal improvement with age, this horse, David. As back in 2010, he only had a rating of 74, and he's now rated 109. I know he's just maybe, I think, 4 and 5 year olds who are the favoured ages for winning the Lincoln, but his rate of progress is too phenomenal to overlook. And with Murphy riding, he's got to be on the shortlist. And the other one is Chucky Royale, another big improver. He was only rated 80 last October, and he's now rated 107. Admittedly, it's on the exploits of his good all-weather campaign, but he was a pretty decent horse on the flat, and Keith Dalglish keeps finding further improvement from him. Who's to say he's not going to translate that to turf? So, as you said, it's very tricky to call it at this time. Another horse I would have been on my shortlist, but he's gone to Dubai instead, giving the Lincoln a miss, and that's Penitent. Mm. But, so watch out for him on World Cup Day in Dubai, because he's 2 from 2 over course in Doncaster. Must have been very tempting to stay at home and have another crack at on his favourite course and distance, but they've sent him to Dubai instead. Take the hint.
Chucky Royale is 16-1. 16-1 Chucky Royale for the William Hill Lincoln next weekend. Give us a winner or two. Speaking of Dubai World Cup night, give us a winner or two for that meeting.
Oh, dear me. Yeah, you're asking me something now, aren't you?
It's going to be interesting to see the Aidan O'Brien run a Ruler of the World.
Well, exactly.
Running in the Dubai World Cup.
This is going to be Aidan's strongest team yet, isn't it, that he's going to send out there. It's a meeting that they've sort of flirted with but never really taken a really high quality team over. But I think they set the stall out this time. You know, the likes of the Mike de Kock horses, they look as though they're going to be versing to Ricks. That's the race that Cosgrove got his ban in, isn't it? And things like that. Plenty of good horses.
Looking forward to seeing Giovanni Baldini, another of the Aidan O'Brien runners in the UAE Derby. 3-1 second favourite here with William Hill. I like that horse a lot.
Yeah, and another one I like on the night will be Jay Shea, who looks as though he's peaking at just the right time, just on that win last time.
Talking of Dubai, what do you make to Pat Cosgrove's ban? 6 months.
Scapegoat's the word that springs to mind. There's nothing in the rule book that outlaws team orders, and that's what he was obviously riding to. You could argue that a guy going off too fast on a pacemaker.
This has happened for years. Aidan O'Brien has had multiple entries in big races. They've been sent out there to make the pace for his other runners.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
There's no difference. And until they make team tactics a punishable offence under the rules of racing, which it isn't at the moment, they can sort of categorise it as they're not giving the horse the best chance of obtaining its best possible placing. But if the horse is beaten anyway, you know, where are you going to stop? They've made him a scapegoat, and I think
crazy 6 months.
If he appealed here, he'd get it overturned or reduced. Definitely.
Yeah, 6 months. Absolute insanity. Anyway, looking forward to Dubai World Cup night, which comes up shortly, and the William Hill Lincoln next weekend. It should be a cracking weekend on the flat, Mick.
Absolutely brilliant.
Should be fantastic.
And then, of course, the national the weekend after, so plenty to look forward
This is the sort of period where the two codes merge.
Absolutely.
And then you get good quality racing over the jumps and on the flat each weekend.
Then we'll be looking ahead to Punchestown, etc., won't we? And and then it'll be all systems go with the flat, big flat meetings coming in.
Let's have a look ahead to Tuesday's racing action now. Then we've got Chepstow and Fontwell over the sticks and Southwell on the all weather. Richie McGraw will be in the studio on Tuesday afternoon as well, so make sure you drop him a line.
That's good news that Richie's out and about.
A couple of good meetings as well for him to get stuck into with the action over the sticks at Fontwell and at Chepstow. Studio at williamhill.co.uk as ever is the email address, and you can tweet us at Will Hill Racing if you've got any questions for Richie on Tuesday. And Mick, you've had a look at three races at Fontwell for us, starting off with the Hands and Heels handicap hurdle for conditionals and amateurs at 2:10.
Yeah, that's they've made it difficult for these. It's a pro-am, isn't it? Conditionals and amateurs. Hands and Heels over 3 miles, 3 furlongs, David.
They're going to be tired at the end.
So my obvious starting point here was the most experienced rider in the race, and that's Charlie Deutsch, who rides Miss Fit Mayfair for Lorne Hill. Now, if you forgive her run last time when she was well back, she was a bit disappointing, arguably, so you're going to have to forgive her that, but she's run respectably all four starts here at Fontwell, including in two bumpers, and she was keeping on second after coming under pressure a long way from home, and her penultimate start stayed on really well to the line, and this trip will not faze her. As I said, she's got the most experienced rider in the field, which will be priceless over this marathon trip. And it's a very confident selection here for me, Miss Mayfair. A couple of others worth a mention. Airman's Friend returns to hurdling, was beaten miles over fences last time, but went close on his penultimate run over hurdles. But his inexperienced rider is yet to ride a winner under National Hunt rules. Has ridden a winner on the flat, but he's yet to ride a winner under National Hunt rules. It's a long old way for them, these guys. And the other one is Absolute Shambles, who's as slow as a boat but loves it round here, and is a regular at Fontwell. He'll be staying on when plenty of call time, but he is vulnerable to something with a bit more pace. But he should hit the frame. But Miss Mayfair is a confident selection. I'll be astonished if Charlie Deutsch doesn't outride his rivals here.
That's the 2:10. The 4:20 is a mare's maiden hurdle over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. And Anthony Honeyball got a couple in here, Midnight Minx and Double Accord. And Midnight Minx maybe slightly, they will have been probably connections slightly disappointed with that run last time.
The problem were, I had a look back at the race, David, she'd been off for 163 days, which suggests there might just have been a little twinge wrong here or there or something.
Yeah.
I look back at the race and she jumped okay, you know. The race was run on pretty desperate ground in Forslass. But don't forget, she was a very smart bumper performer, this mare, winning 3 of her 4 bumpers. The only time she tasted defeat was in listed company at Sandown. And I looked carefully at that debut run, and she jumped well. And she only sort of lost ground from probably between the last two. Travelled well into the race. Now, there might have just been something niggling at her, because Rachel did look after her. She didn't sort of get panicky and get the stick, because she was a very short price favourite that day. I think Rachel Green felt that there was something wrong with her, looked after her. She kept jumping. She even jumped the last well. I'm not worried about that. I think whatever has ailed her that day, they'll have put right. And this is hers to win. And I'll be amazed if she can't win this. It was even hard to find something to put up against her. Sudden Wish, trained by Gary Moore, Jamie Moore in the saddle. She's a smashing mare. She won on the flat 3 weeks ago. And creditable enough efforts on her 3 hurdle starts entitles her to respect here. She got a mark of 102. I'll be surprised if Midnight Minx can't train a mark of something like 120, 30 over hurdles eventually. And the other one worthy of a mention is Norfolk Sky, who's a six-time flat winner. A bit better on her second hurdle race start last time, but a bit more needed. But she is a very likeable mare, as we've seen so many times on the flat. But basically, a fit and healthy Midnight Minx won't even break sweat to win that.
That's the 420. The 455 is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. And Benny the Swing is looking to double up here, Mick, after a win at this track 9 days ago.
Yes, and only £4 higher as well. And he was well back for that course and distance win. Not looking at his overall profile, he's not a given to back up. But he did show a really good attitude last time. It was like a four-way go at the last, but he battled it out, stuck his neck out, and his consistency is a big plus, as is his liking for Fontwell, Tom Cannon, in the saddle for Chris Gordon. A couple of others to mention. He's going to get the vote, Benny, to back up in that. Wicklewood. Now, Benny went up four for winning that Fontwell race. Wicklewood, who's a 22-race maiden, went up six for finishing second at Taunton last time. They don't make life easy for these horses, do they, the handicapper? Having said that, it was his only second start over fences. He fell early on his debut, so maybe there's more to come in this sphere. And he has only got a rating of 81 with Thomas Cheeseman taking off 7. So he's going to get plenty of weight off Benny the Swinger. So he's bound to be on the premises. And the other one is Sablazo, who has performed creditably in all of his 3 completed starts over fences. And he has his winning rider on board in Liam Treadwell, who he invariably runs well for. Modest strike rate today, but I think he looks as though he's going to be better over fences, and he may well improve that now he's steeplechasing. There too with live chances, getting weight off Benny the Swinger. But I do think Benny's good attitude will take him a long way.
Mick, thank you. Mick's 3 selections for Fontwell on Tuesday. Miss Mayfair in the 210. We have Midnight Minx in the 420 and in the 455, Benny the Swinger to go back to back.
Yeah, the front two I'm very confident about. It's the last one. I thought this was the trickiest.
It looks like the most, from a betting perspective, competitive handicap, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you, Mick. It will be Gareth Topham with John Budden and Richie McGrath to take you through the action from 1:50 p.m. on Tuesday. studio@williamhill.co.uk for your emails. Tweet us at Will Hill Racing. I do hope you've enjoyed listening to Tuesday's Racing Podcast. Thanks again to Mick Norton for his contribution, and thanks to you for listening.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.